Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here as we begin a new course of study today on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, honored to be the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ, and honor that you've joined us today as well. If you want to share this lesson after you've heard it with someone else that you know or love, would be honored for you to do so. It's online anytime at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. There's some options there for the radio program or some articles. Click on radio program. This is number 117, Grace Instructs. While you're there, you can find all the other ones that have happened in this series and links to some notes I have and audio sermons for 5 or 6 years worth and sermons from other people I'm honored to work with and edit. Never ask for anything. Don't charge you for them. They're free. It is a gift from you to you from us. And we hope that you use those advantages that are afforded before you. We're going to talk about today grace and how grace instructs us. How grace is beneficial for the Christian. What is grace? You know, we often, and the textbook answer is unmerited favor. Grace. Unmerited favor. Oftentimes, it's not getting what you deserve. You know, you deserve a ticket. The officer let you off. He was graceful in doing that. I think about grace as an acrostic. Heard this from Brother Dan Winkler many years ago. An acrostic is where you take a word, and every letter in that word, it stands for another phrase or a word to help you understand it. For instance, please excuse my dear Aunt Sally, is an acrostic that we use in math, and that helps us remember how to do basic functions, parentheses, exponent, multiplication, division, addition, and subtraction. That's how you're supposed to work a mathematical equation. The Bible is an acrostic form, is basic instructions before leaving earth. Just another way you could look at that. But I want us to look at the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. As an acrostic, it stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. See, that's the coming of the Savior to this earth. This low land of sin and sorrow, to live as a man for about 30 years, to have an earthly ministry that lasted about 3 years, to go to that cross and to die. Upon that death, the shedding of His blood affords the opportunity for all of mankind to be obedient to the will of the Father, submitting in baptism, can have their sins forgiven, not pushed forward, not retained, but forgiven. See, that's God's riches, the riches of an eternal home in heaven. Well, I want us to look here at the idea of grace and how it instructs us. And I want us to look in the book of Titus, if you will. Titus chapter 2, verses really 11 through 14. Titus 2, 11 through 14. But I want us to start in verse 1 to key in on the chapter. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at the home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. exhort servants, verse 9, to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of a great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Dear friends, when we come back from this short break, an invitation, if you will, to join us at the Arlington Church of Christ, we're going to look at three things that grace instructs us to do here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Well, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you with us here. If you're just now tuning us in, this is Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. And let's study God's Word together. If you've missed any of this program or want to hear it again or share it with someone you know or love, you can do that anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on the radio program, and this is number 117, Grace Instructs. We're looking in Titus chapter 2, short little epistle to Titus. In verses 11 through 14, we've looked at how grace is an acrostic, each letter standing for something, God's riches at Christ's expense. Three things that grace instructs us or teaches us to do. He said in verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Do you realize how important that is? That means that not only a certain group of people have the opportunity to be saved, not just a certain continent of people or race, nationality, height, or gender hath appeared unto all men. That men is mankind. Hath appeared unto all mankind. Three things that grace instructs us or teaches us to do. Number one, from verse 12 and really verse part A. That's the first up to that first part. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. What is the first thing that grace teaches us to do? We've got to leave. There are some things that we've got to leave behind, if you will. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 16 and 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. In Luke's parallel account, Luke 9:23, Jesus adds the word daily. Let a man take up his cross daily and follow me. See, he says in verse 12 of Titus 2, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, he's already talked about denying ungodliness and worldly lust in the preceding verses in this chapter. But now we see that grace teaches us, number one, I've got to leave things behind if I want to be a faithful servant of Christ. You know, I can't act like the world wants me to act. I can't dress like the world wants me to dress. I can't think like the world wants me to think. I can't behave the way the world wants me to behave. It's just not becoming of a Christian. See, number one, I've got to leave. I've got to deny. Yeah, I could have it. Yeah, I could go out and do sinful things. But denying myself that is just really showing how much control I have. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Number one, to be taught by grace, we've got to leave. Number two, stay in verse 12 and pick it back up. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Number two, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All of our points start with L. And so our second L is to live. We should live three things. Soberly. What does it mean to be sober? We often think about it meaning not drunken, which is true. The real definition carries the idea not having anything that would pollute the mind. So that would involve consuming alcohol. That would involve doing drugs. That would involve putting anything before God. I've got to live soberly. Be sober, be vigilant, Peter says. For your adversary, the devil, 1 Peter 5:8, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I've got to be careful. I've got to live soberly. Number two, I've got to live righteously. Well, what is righteousness? Well, all of God's sayings are righteousness, since he's the righteous judge. It would thereby define that anything that he has said would be righteousness. So I've got to live according to his word, and I've got to live like he is, right? I've got to, number three, live a godly life. Now, I'm not God. Don't want to be. I don't want to be the judge. But I should still try to live as perfect as I can. How would he want me to handle this situation? What would Jesus do, as the bracelets used to say? So grace instructs me, number one, from verse 12 of Titus 2, I've got to leave things. Number two, from verse 12 as well, I've got to live a certain way. And number three, from verse number 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our final L is I've got to look. See, grace teaches me to look for what? That blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I've got to look forward to his return. Dear friends, I've met people in the world who don't want him to come back. Because when he comes back, they know that they're not doing what they ought to, and they know they're not going to receive blessings. They're going to receive punishment. So they'd rather him just not come back. They'd rather just not have to worry about it. But that's not what Scripture teaches. I've got to look for that blessed hope. I know he's coming back, and I want him to come back for me, to be faithful to join him in the air. But close out verse 14. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem, to purchase, to buy back from all iniquity, and to purify unto himself a peculiar people that are zealous of good works, good righteous works, as they're trying to live a godly life. That phrase, peculiar people, I've said it before many times, and I'll say it again until I quit breathing. Christians, we cannot act like the world, talk like the world, think like the world, eat like the world, drink like the world, believe like the world. We're supposed to look different for a reason. The Christian is not to blend in and say, well, everybody else is doing this illegal activity. Everybody else is sinning. I might as well sin too. That's foreign in Scripture, dear friends. Jesus Christ gave himself for me that he might redeem me from iniquity, so I don't have to look like the world. Jesus Christ died so I can live a different life. I don't have to look like the heathen in the world, if you will. And so he says, let no man despise thee, as he closes, as Paul closes out Titus chapter 2. I hope this lesson on grace and what it teaches us to do has been beneficial. It teaches us, number one, Titus 2:12, that there are things I've got to leave, ungodliness and worldly lust. Number two, there are certain things I've got to live for. I've got to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I've got to live that now. I can't say, well, I'm going to live a life that's wicked now, and then when I get to heaven, I'll live righteously. It's not just going to work. Number three, I've got to look, verse 13, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what grace tells me to do, dear friends. That's what grace tells you to do as well. I hope this lesson has been beneficial for you. I've thoroughly enjoyed the time that we have had allotted for us today, and I hope that we can do it again, Lord willing, next time. Same place, same time. Hope you'll join us there. If you want to share this lesson with someone that needs to know what grace instructs us to do, which is everyone, by the way, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G. Readingtheword.net. You click on where it says the radio program. Scroll down till you find this one. They're all arranged by air date, by program number and air date. And so this one is program number 117, and it's called Grace Instructs. May the good Lord bless you, and may he keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville. This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.